American Cassette Ministries welcomes you to a true story of a courageous mother guiding her four children through war-torn Europe in search of her husband. Let's join Dr. Kay Kuzma now as she tells us the first part of this amazing true story entitled Lemonade, The Escape from Poland.
I'm going to tell you a story about Kim, Kari, and Kevin's grandfather and about their daddy and what happened a number of years ago as they tried to escape from Poland. And I call this story Lemonade. But you're not going to know why the story is called Lemonade until the very end, and then I'm going to ask you to see if you know why the story is called Lemonade. The story starts out with William. Now, he's a young man, and he wants to know a lot more about God. He lives in a country called Poland, and why they worship God. But it's always the priests in the church that talk about God and have Bibles. And he wants to have a Bible so badly that one night as he's praying to God, he has a dream. And the dream is about this man who sells books. And he comes to the door and he has a briefcase full of Bibles. Well, William woke up and was excited because he felt that that was an answer to his prayer. That if he could just find the man who sold books to open his briefcase, why, he could have a Bible. He could buy a Bible. And he wanted one so badly. And one day he was over at his friend's house. And a book salesman came to the door and knocked. And the friend wasn't interested. No, I'm sorry, I don't want any books. But William recognized that man. He was the man in the dream. And as soon as the door shut and the book salesman started away, William said goodbye to his friend and headed off down the street after the book salesman. And he came up to the man and he said, "Sir, do you happen to have any Bibles in your briefcase?" And the man said, "Well, yes, I've got lots of Bibles." And he opened up his briefcase and showed William all the Bibles and all the other books. And William bought them all and took them home. That's the kind of a man every book salesman loves to meet. That'll take the whole briefcase, or everything in it except the briefcase. And William went home, downstairs to his little bedroom, and began reading all these books. And he came across things that he never knew before. Things like, the seventh day is the Sabbath? He couldn't believe it. But he went back and he found the book salesman and he said, "Prove to me out of the Bible, the seventh day is the Sabbath." And the man showed him right out of the Bible that the seventh day was the Sabbath. It says there right in Exodus 20. It's one of the commandments. And suddenly William's eyes were opened and he said, "Yes, I want to worship God on the seventh day. But where can you find people that worship God on the seventh day?" And the book salesman told him, and William became a Seventh-day Adventist. And he had a dream just about that time that he had a basket, and in the basket he had lots of bread, and he was breaking the bread and feeding all the people. And when he woke up from that dream, he said, "I believe God is calling me to be a book salesman and to share the things that I have learned with others." Now, William's mom and dad didn't really think this was a good idea, that William should become a Seventh-day Adventist. Why was William leaving their religion? Why, in their religion, if a son or a daughter left and went to any other denomination or any other church to worship, it was better that they should die and be dead and gone and buried rather than to go and worship in any other church. William's mother was a very, very religious woman. And she was so concerned because William was going not the way of her church, but a different way. And he had become a Seventh-day Adventist. And she kept saying, "It is better if William were dead. It is better if William were dead." And she was so distraught that one day she decided what she needed to do. It was her responsibility. If she had raised a son that would reject his church and keep the seventh-day Sabbath and go with this little tiny church, it was her responsibility to kill her son. But William had no idea what was in his mother's mind. And one day when he was sleeping in the afternoon because he was up late selling books, he was downstairs in his little room, his mother said, "This is the time." So she got a knife out of the kitchen and started down the stairs. And about halfway down the stairs, suddenly there was a noise upstairs. And somebody was calling, "Yoo-hoo, Mary, yoo-hoo, are you around?" It was her sister. Quickly, she put the knife behind her, and she looked so startled when her sister saw her that the sister said, "What are you doing?" And the mother said, "I just felt impressed that it was my responsibility to kill William." And the sister said, "That's terrible. You shouldn't do that." And she began to talk some sense into this mother. And Mom put away the knife. But when William heard the story, he knew it was no longer safe to stay home. And so he moved out and full-time started selling books door to door. And he would go and everybody that was interested, he would get in a little group and he would study the Bible with them. And when they would want to be baptized, he would call in a minister and they would come and baptize everybody. And pretty soon little churches started here and little churches started there. And one day, William went to the door in this new town that he had never been before, and he said something about the books he was selling. And the man at the door said, "Listen, Mr. Kuzma, there is a Sunday school teacher here who is a really good Sunday school teacher. And if you can convince this Sunday school teacher that all this stuff you're telling me is true, then we'll listen to you." And William said, "Well, I know I can convince anyone that it's true. It's right here in the Bible." "Oh, but you don't know Elizabeth. Elizabeth knows the Bible backwards and forwards." So a meeting was arranged for William and Elizabeth to talk about the Bible. And William presented something, and Elizabeth said, "Oh, that's not right." And so William would say, "Well, find in the Bible where this Sabbath isn't right." And Elizabeth would go and look here, and then she would look there, and she said, "I know it's not right." And she looked all over, and she couldn't find any way to prove her point. And pretty soon, Elizabeth was convinced that William had the Bible truth, and the books that he had were the truth. And so Elizabeth became a Seventh-day Adventist, and so did a number of people in that town. And pretty soon, William thought Elizabeth looked like a pretty nice girl. And Elizabeth thought William looked like a mighty handsome man. And they decided to get married. And they had four children. The oldest one was Donna. And then 2 years later came Christine. And then a couple years later came Jan, which is Kim, Carrie, and Kevin's daddy. And he wasn't called Jan when he was a kid. His real name was Jan. But when he came to this country, they looked at J-A-N, and they said, "Well, we know how to pronounce that. That's Jan." So everybody calls him Jan now. But it was Jan. And for short, you know, a nickname, they called him Yannick. Like we have John and Johnny. Well, it was Jan and Yannick back there in Poland. And then about 8 years later came the caboose of the family, little baby George. And the family went from place to place as Mommy and Daddy would sell books. And sometimes there was terrible persecution. people didn't like them sometimes in their city because they were telling things that the rest of the people didn't believe. And so they would take rocks, and at night they would throw it through the bedroom window. And sometimes these rocks came very close to hitting the kids in their bed. And it wasn't always a pleasant situation. But at least Mommy and Daddy were busy every single day sharing the gospel. And Daddy came home with such exciting stories. Why, one time he came home and he said, "Kids, you will not believe what happened to me today. I was in this certain town, and all the church leaders got together, and they decided they didn't want me in this town any longer. And so they got clubs and sticks and started to chase me out of town. I was frightened. I grabbed my briefcase and started to run, but the mob was right behind me, and I ran as fast as I could, and suddenly there was a great big hole, and I tripped and fell right down in that hole. I was desperate to get out. I was only just a few seconds ahead of these people, and I tried to scramble out of that hole, and I worked and I worked and I worked, and I couldn't get out of that hole. And pretty soon I realized that the people had run right past me. They didn't even realize I was down in that hole. And pretty soon it was quiet. And I tried once again to climb out of the hole. That time, no sweat. Boy, I just climbed out of that hole and nobody was around, so I took my briefcase and here I am home. And day after day, Daddy would come home and tell the kids about the miracles that God performed for him as he was out selling these books, talking about the importance of the Sabbath and the beautiful things in Scripture and sharing these with the people. Then, one day, when Jan was 8 years old, something happened in that country. The Nazi army forcefully marched through Poland and in just a few days captured the whole country. And suddenly, the German army was in control of Poland. The Nazis would not let anybody worship anything. Why, it was illegal now to go to a church service. It was illegal to be caught preaching. It was illegal to sell books. And when the family wanted to go to church, they couldn't go to a church building. What they had to do is take some flowers or a present as if they were going to a birthday party. And then they would come to the house where they were going to have Sabbath school and church. And they would look both ways to see if anybody was watching. And if nobody was around, then they would go up to the door and knock. And when somebody would open the door, they would say, "Happy birthday!" and hand them the present and go in, just in case somebody was listening. It was so dangerous to have religious meetings at that time that they could not even sing because somebody might hear the singing and report them. And oh boy, if you got reported to the Nazis, you might be shipped out on the next train to a concentration camp, and nobody wanted that to happen. So they would quietly open up the hymn books, and instead of singing, they would read the words of the song. And then, later on, the war got more, the war went on. The German army had marched up into Russia, and things began to get a little difficult. The Germans needed every able-bodied person they could get to work in the war effort because so many people were getting killed. And so one day, they came to Yannick's house, and the authorities said that tomorrow they're coming to take their father off to a labor camp. Even though he was Polish, he was going to have to work for the German army. Chan remembers that day as they all gathered together and had a family picture, but he didn't really know what was happening. He was only 8, and the folks didn't tell him too much about the war. They got the family picture taken, and the next day their father was taken away. And they didn't tell the family where he had gone, where he was going to be working. They just knew he had gone off to a forced labor camp. That's like you're almost a slave, forced to work for the army. Weeks went by. Well, during the war, Jan's father could no longer sell books. So while he was home, he went back to his old business, which was a shoe manufacturing business. And he made shoes. Now, when he had to go off to the army, who was going to take over the factory? Well, Elizabeth's mom decided she was going to have to run the business. And she was a good businesswoman. She knew how to make money. And she knew how to influence people. And when the German army officials would come and say, "Now, we need 100 army boots by Friday," she would say, "Oh, sir," to these big army officials, the people that were in charge now of the country, who were enemies. She had the strength to say, "Sir, we couldn't possibly meet that order." "Why can't you meet the order?" "Because," she said, "you have taken so many of the Jewish families away to, it was a holding area before the trains came to take them away to concentration camps. You have so many of these people on your list to take away that our families are so sad they couldn't possibly work. We can't get those shoes done for you because everybody is so sad. But maybe we could get that order out if you could take these people off your list." "Give me the list." And the officials would look at the list. And because they wanted those army boots so badly, time after time after time, Elizabeth Kuzma was able to free many, many of those Jewish families so they didn't have to go to the concentration camps. And life got worse and worse. And they never heard from Daddy, but she was a good businesswoman. Until one day, the dogs began howling. And everybody wondered why the dogs were howling. And then a number of hours later, they began to hear the artillery shots. The war front was coming close. Suddenly, word spread through the city. The Russian army is pushing the German army back through Germany. It's no longer safe to stay in this city. You must leave immediately. And they painted such a terrible picture of that barbarian army. They told about how awful those Russians were, those terrible barbarian soldiers, and how if they wanted the ring on your finger, and if they couldn't pull it off, why, they knew of soldiers who would just bite off the finger or cut off the finger in order to get the ring. And if you had a tooth that was filled with gold, and they wanted that gold, why, they thought nothing of taking a rock and knocking out your tooth and taking the gold. And what they did to women and children, why, it was so awful. Nobody even talked about it. It was so awful. No way would they leave anybody behind for this Russian army, which was pushing the German army back through Poland. No way would they leave anybody behind for those barbarians. What they really didn't say is they didn't want anybody left behind who was still favorable to the Polish-Russian army that was pushing the Germans back through Poland, because then they would help the army if they were left behind, and they weren't going to leave anybody behind. So they made it absolutely mandatory that everybody had to leave town. "Well," said Elizabeth, "how long before we have to leave?" "Oh," they said, "the train is leaving in a couple of hours." "What should we pack?" "Oh, don't worry about packing anything. Why, this is just a temporary setback. In a few days, we will have pushed those Russians back where they belong, and you can go back to your town or back to your home. So, Mommy and the four kids, they packed up a few suitcases, and just as if they were kind of going on a picnic, and headed off to the train station. And it was kind of fun, you know, going someplace new, and why, they'd be back in just a day or so. And they got on the train and went down away from the war front to another city. But in just a couple days, again, the loudspeakers came through the city. The kids had heard the dogs barking before, and pretty soon they heard the artillery shots, and now the announcement that the war front was pushing down to that city. Again, they would have to get on the train and leave. Everybody packed quickly. The whole town, all the other people that had crowded into that town from Putsk, where the kids started out, everybody ran for the train depot. Nobody wanted to get left behind for this terrible, awful army that was pushing the Germans back through Poland. And Jan's mother suddenly stopped, and she said, "I have an impression. I just have a feeling that we shouldn't get on that train." "Oh, Mom, you must be joking. What do you mean not get on the train? That's the only way to safety. Why, what if those awful Russian soldiers would come into town? Think what they might do to us. Please, Mom, you've got to get on that train." And once again, Mom said, "I just have a feeling we shouldn't get on that train." So everybody else got on that train and left town. Except Mommy and Donna, Christine, Yannick, and little baby George. The town was quiet. There was no one around. Everybody was gone. And then Mommy said, "You know, I have a feeling right now that we should leave town." "But Mom, how are we going to leave town?" And tomorrow I'll tell you what happened.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.